Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Turn my microphone on anymore.
Hi there. It is 39 seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of
May. It's a long month.
In the year of our 2006, I am a broadcast professional, trained in all manner of radio expertise. Thank you for coming along, making a party listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Cavalcade of Whimsy. We appreciate your presence. Any patrons this morning, thank you and welcome to Day 12. It is 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well, my chums. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. That's how you do that. Or 503-733-2970, where we have one line open. Here's what's coming up today. We have all lines open. Don't call now. There's no point. There's no reason. We haven't talked about anything interesting. If you call now, we'll only serve to annoy, confuse, and infuriate Sarah Dillon. Who is feeling good, though. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Inasmuch as you can feel good having your car destroyed, the great thing about having your car destroyed, though, is you can totally play the sympathy card. You can get out of social engagements. Can you come out of this thing that's going to be no fun? No, somebody destroyed my car. It's all too much to bear. And then you just weep and hang up the phone.
You know what? I was thinking way back when my car was also pulled on Hawthorne Boulevard.
Really?
When was that?
A lot. Remember back in the day when I used to get those free cars?
Here we go. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, from Brad the car guy.
Well, you were the one that arranged that after my car was totaled.
I remember that. I remember that now.
I was going to that.
Once again, the Rick Emerson show came to someone's rescue.
That's right.
I was pulling out, and I clobbered this old Oldsmobile. There was just a little scratch on this Oldsmobile from the 1960s, and my, what was I driving back?
Never,
an Escort.
I remember that. Never hit a car that was made before 1980. Mm-hmm. If you hit a car, if it is a K car or newer, you're okay. If it's a K car or older, your car will be destroyed. The other car will have no damage at all. That's the thing. Don't ever hit an SUV either unless you get a really good start at it.
So all mine was totaled on your same street, perhaps a block or two below that.
Maybe Hawthorne is just filled with doom and bad vibes. Maybe that whole place is just... Maybe Sabalas just puts up some kind of vibe of evil. It's just some sort of horrible, destructive vibe that comes out of that place, which is why we love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 503-733-2970. All right, here's what's coming up today. We got a Darwin watch coming up today from right here in River City. What else? What other watches do we have, Tim?
We have a Darwin watch. We have a geek watch.
Fantastic.
A penis watch.
Actually, so we got Darwin watch, geek watch, penis watch. Speaking of geeks, you will be able to observe them in their natural habitat next Tuesday when the Rick Emerson Dungeons and Dragons... We have to come up with a name for it. Dungeons and Dragons, blah da da blah, da 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 da, doom match.
Geek off.
Kick off. What is geek off? Oh, geek off. Geek off is a great word. I'm going to write that down. That makes me think of all kinds of things. Geek off. That's happening next Tuesday as part of 666. But later on today, the 1 p.m. hour, the Alpha Geek from CBS Radio, our good friend Will, will be stepping in for a few moments to confer with Aaron, Geek in the City. And they will have a slap fight over who gets to be the Dungeon Master for said Dungeons & Dragons game, which is coming up next Tuesday. Also coming up next Tuesday, and today is a great day because we are now 6 days away from 666, which...
You're so clever, Rick Emerson.
I really am. It's why I'm here.
Also, I have no friends and no other skills.
So we are now 6 days away from 666 and horns over Hawthorne. I posted the official MySpace Evite or the event invitation, wherever last night. And I'm already, not to be all about the glory of us, but it is pretty great. With all of these people, it's a huge turnout looking to happen. Maybe, who knows?
I say jinxing
ourselves, guaranteeing that no one will be there.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
It's guaranteed to be a smash. No, but the really weird thing is,
that I got all these people who, you know, they live in Montana or something. And so now I've got all of these folks who are going to be taking photos of themselves throwing the horns somewhere in their own state. I got a guy in Alaska doing it. Got a guy, we got our men in Australia doing it. We got Hans in England. They're going to be doing it. And there's some people in Cookville and Selma and all these far-flung places. So we'll talk more about that. Horns Across the Hawthorne, 6 days away. You can find out more information at rickemerson.com or 970.am. We've got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard Today. I got three different submissions. It's feast or famine around here. I got nothing for weeks and weeks about It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. And then last night, I got two. One from our good friend Nate. And it's terrible. The other one I got this morning. Let's see if I've got this right. The other one I got this morning, and it is a chanted willowy poem song, whatever that may be, sung by a Maharishi to advertise organic honey. So there you go. And it's just as good as it sounds, kids. So we got that. We got two installments of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. We may get to one of those today. I don't know. What else? Also, we have Dixie Chicks news coming up today, and in honor of that Dixie Chicks news, which we will get to later, we may actually make this a top 10, although I'll try to keep it under 2 hours in length. Top 10 songs which became huge hits anyway, despite being banned by radio stations across the United States of America. That's all coming up, and the best / worst campaign ad you've ever heard in your life, and it's real. We are joined today by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Would you like to share the good news with people, Sarah?
It's incredible. It really
previously
is.
On the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, I believe that the person that hit my car might be getting arrested right now.
Yeah! In your face! Justice prevails. Feel the long arm of the law. So Sarah's car was destroyed on Sunday by...
a person.
By a person, or
who
perhaps
thought they were going to get away with this heinous crime.
Perhaps people who felt that they could strike like some sort of gorilla of automotive damage and then strike back into the night.
And now they're asking me for sympathy? I don't know.
Are they asking you for sympathy?
Well, when I was talking to the police officer today, he's like, you know, a lot of people say that they're going to press charges, and then it comes down to it, and they feel a little too nice.
Nobody in this group is like that. No, there's nobody in this room that feels nice.
We love vengeance.
I'm not feeling nice. I'm like, hey, if somebody can drive and hit my car, totaling it, and then run away feeling good with themselves, then I don't want to make that person
and that's
happen.
What I'm saying. It wasn't just a traffic accident. This was some sort of guerrilla assault.
Uh-huh.
Because they stole... I mean, speeding down the street, cross the center line, bam, into the car, and then again, they slink back into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Took off into the night on foot. Some sort of hit-and-run... You know, they are. They're like automotive contras.
Say it in a crazy, crazy way. MySpace actually helps my case.
MySpace does some good for once.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more coming up on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, it won't be long before it's my jail space, will it?
I'm sorry, I wasn't prepared for this so early in the show. I was to understand that it would be... There you go. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
It's the day Katie Couric says goodbye. Who needs music radio? The Dixie Chicks have a number one selling album without being played on the air.
Booyah!
Fans say goodbye to Katie Couric. It'll be illegal to play internet poker in Washington State beginning on June 7th.
No!
And Katie Couric talks about her hair.
Well, there you go. CBS's fortunes are turning around as we speak. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email, kids, my well-scrubbed companions. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, we got to get to all of that today. We got to talk about Horns Across the Hawthorne. We got to talk about Horns Across Your City, wherever that may be. I got to quit doing that voice. We have the top 10 songs that became huge hits despite being banned by American radio stations. Worst song you've ever heard. We'll talk, and we'll, of course, be necessarily circumspect about all of this, because, but the person believed to be responsible.
Alleged.
They're guilty as sin, and we know it. Let's not beat around the bush.
The person alleged, who we are not going to identify in any way.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, manner, or form. The person believed to have destroyed Sarah's car.
The evidence is overwhelming.
Person who did it. It really is an amazing story, and I'm not trying to be like a guarantee-y guy, but it's such an amazing story that we'll get to it here in a while. Otherwise, it'll just run rampant over the whole news hour.
We just hope prison life isn't as tough as we hear it is.
Well, no, I'm sure whoever it is doesn't already have any outstanding warrants or...
Perhaps a confession at this point might help a little bit, but not very much.
I'm sure their criminal record isn't like a rash all over the computer system already.
Or their family.
Yeah, we'll go for the family next. Next, the family gets theirs.
You can run from Hawthorne Boulevard, but you can't hide.
Here's the City Desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Well, there's some other things going on. First, a two-alarm fire burned a Hazeldell apartment building early this morning, breaking out at 3:30 this morning.
I thought Hazeldell was a drug rehabilitation clinic somewhere.
Well, it probably is. We don't know everyone
I don't
lives
even
there.
Know. Where was this at?
This is Hazeldell, Washington.
It sounds like a druggy place.
It happened at the Hampton Hills apartment. As many as 40 people evacuated, some helped out by ladders, and a one-year-old child was tossed from the burning building to people holding a blanket below.
Ah, oh, there you go. That's your... Whatever. You can tell that it's a... I'm not saying that this is the case, but it does sound like a drug-infested apartment building. And the reason you know that is because they give it a name that makes it sound like someplace rich. What's it called? Hampton Hills?
Yes.
Yeah, so the fact that it's called Hampton Hills, that's like when they call it, like, yeah, Rolling Acres Estate or Martha's Point Apartments. And Martha's Point Apartments is always someplace where it's, you know, it's just... Some horrific swill hole of a neighborhood.
Any place that is called Gardens has no trees.
It's completely true. All right. Good news, Sarah?
He's leaving a message on my...
Who?
The police officer.
Is this the police officer that...
Officer Coronin.
That strode into your life so boldly and with a...
He's awesome.
A strong whiff of masculinity.
Is on the case.
We should note that they stepped up.
Mm-hmm. I feel very lucky. They've been busting us to find this out. And it looks like the person...
Who we are not going to identify in any way.
No. The person has been cited.
Cited? But they didn't just beat her senseless?
Does that mean looked at?
Cited. There she is. And there she goes. I think she was cited on Sunday, running away. Wait, I got to be more on the ball with it. There you go. There you go.
Well, apparently she didn't have her running shoes on this time, did she?
Okay. Is this going to be the start of a long romance between you and the police officer?
I can see some sexy emails coming
up. Because this is how they all start. And again, I'm not trying to disparage the Portland Police Department. They've had enough of that lately without my help. But I'm just saying, this is how it all starts, where it's like in that movie Crash. Not the sexy one with James Spader, but the scary one with Matt Dillon. This is where it's always like, there's an anaconda in my house, I need help! And then he showed her, where's your anaconda, ma'am? Kicks down the door. Rescues you, and then it's like the next thing you know, they flash forward 2 years later, you're getting married.
I have to say, on this person's account, in some place on their account, on some account I came across, it says, I'm always on the go.
Let's not identify anybody.
No, that's it.
Always on the go.
Yeah.
I'm always on the lam.
It made me laugh out loud.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, she's with us.
You LOL'd.
She's with us.
I'm sorry. Let's stop.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Let's just take a beat. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, she's been a staple of America's morning for more than 5 years, but now, after more than 15,000 interviews, millions of laughs, 2 million of tears, and countless cups of coffee, Katie Couric says goodbye to the Today Show.
Time for the Today Show.
Oh, God.
You are definitely the special K that goes with our coffee.
Katie, thank you for showing me that it is, in fact, possible for me to wake up every morning with a beautiful woman.
Who? Okay, wait, hold on. Who are these people?
I don't know, but it sounded entertaining.
Well, no, I'm going to play it again. No, I'm going to play it again from the beginning.
It says, Katie fans montage one.
Who knew that Katie Couric had fans?
There are two of them on there.
Does she have people, too, and an entourage?
I didn't know
posse?
Anybody watched the show anymore.
And what is with the guy saying, you make me believe it is, in fact, possible to wake up with a beautiful woman? Why is he saying that? Is he hideously unattractive? Does he...
Must be a board op or something.
I was going to say, does he perhaps bat for the opposing team, or is he just repellent? Well, let's find out.
Time for the Today Show.
It's always good to start a montage with a boring sound of somebody yawning.
You are definitely the special K that goes with our coffee.
See, because her name starts with K.
Thank you for showing me that it is in fact possible for me to wake up every morning with a beautiful...
Cause it!
He is your daily enthusiasm. That is my morning coffee.
No one can understand the sound bite because it's too echoey.
G-I-D will miss you. I-N-B-C.
I'm going to kill myself. That's the...
Well, luckily, she's coming over to our side here at CBS.
So, fortunately, that's... That money-having demographic is coming right over to the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Absolutely.
Good news. Let's start selling some Pine Sol and those Swiffer wipe things.
Those are handy.
Yeah, all right.
Well, Katie Couric bids goodbye to NBC today as she hosts the Today Show for the last time.
And farewell, friend. She's been a staple of America's mornings for more than 15 years. Now, after more than 15,000 interviews, millions of laughs, and countless cups of coffee,
this all sounds very familiar.
Wednesday, May.
Now wait, did he steal
also
your copy?
Today,
he stole my script.
This guy stole Tim Riley's copy. Who is that? Matt Lauer?
That is. Can
Matt
you come
Lauer.
Up with something original?
Matt Lauer.
It isn't just morning show DJs who are stealing our stuff now.
Oh, Matt Lauer. Okay, it's time for vengeance. Bring me the broken, battered body of Matt Lauer! Not really. All right, let's go.
And farewell, friend. She's been a staple of America's mornings for more than 15 years. Now, after more than 15,000 interviews,
this clunky edit brought to you by
and countless cups of coffee, Katie's saying goodbye today, Wednesday, May 31st. 2006.
Sometimes somebody's not saying goodbye. They're just getting a different job. Not everything is saying goodbye.
We never get to.
Like, you know, when seriously, when the... Did you ever... On a very special Rick Emerson show.
We've never had the privilege of saying goodbye.
Tim and Rick say goodbye. Sarah said goodbye
we
last
week. We just kind of disappear for a couple of...
Today, a very special Rick. Tim and Rick vanish inexplicably and without
very
warning.
Very usual.
It's
up to you to find us.
You know, when they leave, here's another Mad TV sketch or, you know, pre-prepared FM comedy bit if you want this. Mm-hmm. This would be like as if all firings and quittings were done by NBC, and it would be a whole lot of like the janitor, like Ted the janitor gets fired. So today, at Amalgamated Paper Incorporated, Ted the janitor says goodbye. And it would just be him, like, leaving. And that would be it. It would be him going, I'm leaving now. And then he would walk out the door. Not everything is like the farewell at the end of The Wizard of Oz.
Meanwhile.
Right, do we have more of this?
Yeah. We have a Matt Lauer.
Does it go on and on for hours?
We only have one more.
That's too bad,
Tim. And it's on to other things. Host Matt Lauer probably stole another script from me and says a lot has happened in the past 15 years.
And to our top story this morning, which is Katie. It's been an incredible ride.
It's good thing that war is over.
We've got a great celebration plan this
morning.
Poverty
solved.
But we begin with a look back at some of the highlights of your 15 memorable years right here on Today.
Wait, and then we don't get to hear it?
There's nothing?
Listen to this.
Intro?
This is all overture, no show.
And to our top story this morning, which is Katie. It's been an incredible ride, as we've said. We've got a great celebration plan this morning. But we begin with a look back at some of the highlights of your 15 memorable years right here on Today.
What, is this like a porn site where they show me the sample and then I have to pay to get the rest or something?
Pretty much, yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not. Screw it. Doesn't matter. Can I just tell you this? Can we all confess something right here?
Sure.
Has anyone in this room ever sat down and watched an episode of Today with Katie Couric?
No.
I've seen an old one with the Dave Garraway and the monkey.
I think that's a big no. Sarah?
No.
No.
Yeah, so there you go. So nobody in this room has ever seen this program.
I have watched the Coin 6 early morning news.
Do you watch the early show?
What's that?
Okay.
It's CBS's.
Oh, no, I turned it off after the coin show is on.
Let's make sure that we CC Les Moonves on this whole conversation. Dear Mr. Moonves.
Not that it's a bad show.
I make sure to turn off your program immediately as it begins. And so Katie Couric is going to be doing what? The evening news?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be sure to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on to some real news. Across this great land. The 2006 National Spelling Bee is in progress in Washington, D.C.
Don't you want to beat those little kids in the spelling bee? I'm not saying they deserve it, but I'm saying don't you? Because it's always some freaky homeschooled kid that has, like, bug eyes and no friends.
You've seen Spellbound.
Yeah.
Some of those kids work really hard at it.
They work really hard, but they're working hard at something stupid. Spelling bees are like that kid that memorizes pi to the 9 billionth place. It may be impressive, doesn't help you. It gets you no friends. All it does is give girls another reason not to talk to you.
Yeah, but it has benefits. I mean, at least they can get scholarships and whatnot.
Can you? From a spelling bee, really?
Yeah, that's why, if you paid attention to Spellbound, that's why they were all competing, because you remember the girl who was from Washington, D.C.? She needed a scholarship to go to school.
Was that that? No, I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of the little bug-eyed white girl that had the... She was the... What was it? She had the weird, freaky eyes that were, like, protruding out of her head. And her hair was all kind of wild, and her mom, like, paid for, like, she was a rich girl, and her mom paid for, like, pony lessons for her all the time. Like, here.
Yeah, she was in that, too.
Yeah,
but
no.
She was one of the, yeah.
She was weird. The only person I liked, actually, there's three kids. Okay, we're not talking about, like, the most boring, it's a movie about a spelling bee.
It's a documentary.
Which I've just said that I don't care about, and here I am, we're talking about a documentary about a spelling bee. There's the only three kids in that movie that I liked. I liked the little motor mouth, hyperactive kid, because he reminded me of me. Totally reminded me of me.
We watched that movie together.
We didn't.
Yes, we did.
We didn't.
At the Hollywood Theater.
We didn't go to see, no, we didn't.
Okay, let's just move forward.
Did we?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure I saw that with my wife.
And I own it now, too.
I own it, too. This is officially now just so beyond dull.
I think we both stole it from KWJJ.
And there was the other girl. It was like a Middle Eastern name. Her name was Lashani or something. She almost won. And then there was the girl you're talking about from Washington D.C. They were great. Everybody else, they were all either incredibly wealthy or they were, again, like the weird nutcase religious homeschooled kids, and they frightened me. Homeschooled children unnerve me. I don't know why that is. I don't have any real reason for it. I don't have any justification for it. But I find them all creepy and off-putting. Like those kids clutching. It's like a physics textbook under one hand and a copy of Left Behind under the other arm. And it's just, I find them very, they freak me out.
Well, without further ado, let's go to the National Spelling Bee, shall we?
Okay, wait.
Amandine.
May I have the definition, please?
Oh.
Prepared or served with almonds.
Amandine. A-M-A-N-D-I-N-E.
How can it be Amandine if there's no L after the A?
Amandine.
Well, is she right?
Obviously you spelled it wrong.
Do we not get to find out?
These are the worst sound bites ever.
This is like a...
Well, I ran out of...
Here's a thing from Katie Couric that we'll never get to pay off. Also, here's a word that we're not going to give you the actual spelling of.
Well, our next word is Gaylardia.
Okay, but do you realize...
We don't have to know what they mean or how they're spelled.
It's a spelling bee. You've got it. That's like, you know, here he is taking the hole-in-one shot for $10 jillion. The ball is up. It's in the air. It's hitting. It's near the hole. And then, like, that's the end of the sound. And then you would never hear it. So, okay, do you realize that we are now A? We are now playing sound bites from a spelling bee. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing. This is our entertainment for the people during their noon hour.
This is like... You know, audio C-SPAN.
We are...
For those of you who enjoy book TV, we're after a new demographic now.
All right, so we are now playing sound bites from a spelling bee interrupted by Sarah and I discussing when and where we may or may not have watched a documentary.
No, I just got a message from Justin. It was Justin and I went to see it. It wasn't you and I.
All right, that's what I think. I saw it with my wife, and you saw it with your then-boyfriend. Let's be very clear about these things. Let's.
Please spell Gaylardia.
What? What are you mouthing
at? I don't know. You look so confused.
I am confused, because I don't know why we're playing any of these. What? But please, okay.
Gaylardia.
It's any plant or flower of a genus of Western American herbs having hairy foliage and long, stalked flower heads.
My name is Harry Foliage. I'm here to...
G-A-I-L-L-A-R-D-I-A, Gaylardia.
Correct, give her a scholarship.
Okay, so that one... Wait, no, did she get that one right?
Yes.
How do you know?
Because
Are
I said
guessing?
So.
That's Tim Riley. Okay, there you go, the word of... I got to tell you, though, I carry a grudge about spelling bees. I carry...
Me, too. What word did you misspell?
I misspelled
the most ridiculous word.
This is going to be a whole... Okay, here's me in the consultant meeting. Did you and your producer, Miss Dylan, did you spend 13 and a half minutes talking about, what is this, spelling bees this morning? Talk radio research traditionally shows that listeners do not care to listen to 50 minutes of spelling bee discussion.
No, but
Rick.
Seriously, what word did you misspell?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, tell me.
Okay, I'll tell you.
Mine was really embarrassing.
Okay, mine too. You got to go first.
Okay, no.
We have to take a break, though. We'll tell you what words we misspelled.
No, we can't keep talking about
it. We have to break.
Is this a tease?
Well, look, we got to pay off one of these goddamn sound clips, finally.
All right.
Find out who misspelled what coming up.
Seriously, there you go. That's it right there. Couldn't have done it better myself. Okay. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland, kids. As though you could possibly confuse today's program with anything else under the sun. AM 970, Solid State Radio. We will be back after this. We'll tell you what words haunt Sarah Dillon and I to this day because of Spelling Bee's past. Plus more on the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.
And a whole lot of hydro. Only describe us as soldier survivors. Stay laced in the best, well-dressed with finesse in the white tee. Looking for white meat. The girl who fly and talk so nicely. Put her in the coop so she can feel the night breeze. We can drive through the city, no doubt, but don't...
It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970 and so forth. Tim just brought me the Gilardia printout. Did you know that Gilardia is a genus of drought-tolerant annual and perennial plants from the sunflower family, native to North America? It was named after M. Gilard de Chantenay, an 18th-century French magistrate who is a patron of botany. I'm sorry, what?
Read the next one. It's even more interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. The base form... Oh.
No. Almondine.
Oh,
your spelling.
This is
your spelling of almondine.
All right, almondine. 503-733-2970. We've got this. Rick, for the record, it's spelled A-L-M-O-N-D-I-N-E. The girl got it wrong. Stupid, stupid, stupid girl. Stupid. By the way, that was... there you go. That's our very own Todd the Corpse who said that.
Come on!
Almondine, or almondite, is a name applied to certain kinds of precious garnet, apparently being a corruption of albendicus, which is the name applied by Pliny the Elder to a stone... I don't understand any of that. I'm in Tim Riley land.
Click, click.
Which...
Click. Lars.
Yeah, that line item veto talk's really going to pull him away. Almondine is an iron aluminium garnet of deep red color... Who would possibly... Here's the thing.
I think we should talk about the Dixie Chick.
Who would possibly know this?
That's why I read it off for you.
Okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We have to go to... ladies and gentlemen.
Do we have a guest?
Let's now go to the man in New York, the man with the plan, and a little ditty about Jack and Diane, and a four-door sedan, and a can, a very finely tinned ham. It's Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio. How are you, Gary?
I'm pretty good. How was your Memorial Weekend?
It was fantastic is what it was. Hey, did you ever participate in spelling bees when you were a child?
Buddy, if I could spell, I would be a print reporter.
There you go. Welcome to our world right here.
Yes, that's right. Why are we all in radio? Because we can't spell.
I got to tell you, man, it's so frequent that it's almost a cliche now that I will meet someone in radio whose work I really respect and who has a voluminous and massive lexicon, and then they will write something out for you, and it's like, letters in the wrong place and like capitals where they don't belong, like periods and semicolons don't make any sense. It's all a bunch of chicken scratch. That's how everybody...
Yeah, when I got started in the business, they didn't have spell check, you know? You know, maybe we could get by with you today, but not back then.
I grew up in that era where it's like there was always that conundrum of if you don't know how to spell something, look it up. And then, of course, you would always go, well, how am I supposed to look it up if I can't? And then they would just hit me with the ruler, and I would have to be quiet.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That was a paradox thing.
You hear these kids, they're given words I've never heard of before to spell.
Spelling bee children make me simultaneously angry and frightened.
Yes.
Because I do believe that most of them are some species of alien sent here to infest the world. That's just my personal opinion. So in any event, let's... Let's move along, shall we? It's,
Sarah, do you have the prep sheet or did you get that back to me?
Oh, I have all my police information
The CNN. No, can I have that back, please? And then Sarah and I have to reveal our own horrifying spell check stories because we figured that our spelling bee stories, because we figured that's the way to fantastic ratings. I'm reading this right. We had this sound earlier about Katie Couric, and I wanted to make sure I had this right. It is 15 years that she's been on the Today Show. And then she's going, when does she, I should know this, but I don't, when does she take over the CBS Evening News? It's not like a out one day on the next thing, is it?
No, in September she starts at CBS.
So we have lots of time.
She may not start at CBS in September, but she starts on the air at CBS in September.
So we have lots of time to get together some sort of a celebratory party so we can call lots of friends over to our houses and watch her first newscast.
I think that probably, I mean, given the fact that the past 10 of the 15 years that she's been the co-host of the Today Show, the Today Show has been the leader. There has not been a week where it's fallen into second place. There will probably be fans, and this, of course, is what CBS is counting on, that will switch over at night to watch the CBS Evening News. They hope that they'll get a spike in the ratings as a result of all this. The big issue is, well, you know, the perky, as we like to call her, Katie Couric, can she translate into the seriousness of the Evening News and whether people will respect that or not.
I think it probably helps that at this point in 2006, very few people respect the Evening News to begin with or take it seriously. So it's not like she's having to follow Edward R. Murrow. You know what I mean?
That's right.
No knock on Dan Rather, but I mean it really is just a cultural shift more than anything else that I don't really know that the torch she's picking up is the same as it was 15 years ago.
No, however, that being said, and I would agree with that entirely, the reality is that the guy who's been the interim host of that show, Bob Schieffer, is an extremely solid and serious newsman.
Are they just not keeping him because he's just not the demographic? He's just too old to get the people that they want?
That would be my guess, yes, indeed.
And he would probably be the first to admit that they're trying to get... Because, you know, it is that cultural divide again. There are people who get the print paper in the morning, and there are people who read it online. There are people who go to Google News, and there are people who just wait to see what what Dan Rather or whoever was going to tell them at 6. And so they're probably trying to get more of the former and fewer of the latter.
And also, it used to be the day was where the news was the star, and now, it's very important the personalities of the, individuals, who are presenting the news is very important, and, that factors into it, and certainly she's very deferential both to men and women. She skews very well, so. It's probably a good move, despite the fact that many of us who are curmudgeons are sitting back and going,
See, that's what I was waiting for right there. There's the bitter note of spite to come out of this.
Right.
I give it 6 months before they have to have somebody in there talking about her hair on the news, because people who care about serious news aren't going to watch Katie Couric, and people who like let's be honest here, people who wake up and center their lives around Katie Couric don't really care about anything that's happening anywhere that's not like a Woolworths, clothing sale, you know?
Right.
So.
Maybe if Joan Rivers comes on and sells custom jewelry during the breaks, that might help.
All right. Gary Baumgarten, it is not a world of men anymore, but you and I stand tall, my friend.
That's true.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Gary.
See you, buddy.
Gary Baumgarten. New York City. You know, I love Gary Baumgartner, but sometimes he just sounds so beaten down. He just sounds...
Well, it's New York.
That's what I mean. He just sounds like Sheldon Levine sometimes. I can't close these leads. He just sounds so... He just sounds like a piece of hammered flannel some days.
I mean, you're lucky there if you can get a loaf of bread home without having it squished, isn't it?
All right. I got all these spelling bee emails to get to. We're going to read them, and then we're never going to talk about it again. Rick... Hey, I was looking. No. Rick, when the hell did the Rick Emerson Show become the BBC 4? I keep waiting for Graham Chapman to pop in and tell you to move along.
And now we'll book for lunchtime.
And now all things considered.
And now maritime weather.
So she did misspell Almandine, by the way.
Yes, she did.
Dumb, stupid girl. And it's unclear about whether she misspelled the other. I don't really care that much. Okay, so the bottom. So Sarah, you must now.
You have to say it first.
Must now reveal for everyone what word you misspelled. Okay, here's the thing. You tell me how old you were.
I was in fifth grade.
Okay, you were. So that's what, like.
I was nine.
Nine, something like that. All right. All right. I was in about fifth grade as well. I still remember the name, by the way, of the girl who correctly spelled the word. Deeply stupid girl who I believe lucked into the correct spelling. Not that I'm bitter about it. I will not use her name on the air, although I could, because it seared into me like a white-hot supernova of pain.
I remember the guy who won.
And here's the thing about the spelling bee. I would say, as the minute hand sweeps past 42.
I had no idea that this topic would last two segments.
It really is a tempest inside a thing that's whatever.
I can just put the rest of the stuff away till tomorrow.
No, really. this is the rest of the day right here. It's gold, Jerry. Fried gold. Here's the thing, is that not only am I a decent speller, I'm an exceptional speller, okay?
As am I.
As Hans Gruber would say, I'm an exceptional thief, and since I'm moving up to kidnapping, you should be more respectful.
Maybe if we hadn't lost those spelling bees at a young age, we wouldn't be the great spellers we are.
No, because I think it hardened
it
my resolve.
You.
It focused my passion and my devotion to becoming a fantastic speller.
Okay, what was the word?
It's stupid, though, because it's a word everybody can spell. I misspelled... Oh, I can feel the bile rising in my throat as though it were yesterday. I misspelled restaurant.
Okay.
I had all the... Now, in my own defense, I say, driving away even more listeners, in my own defense, I had all the letters correct. I just...
They were in the wrong order.
That's what it was.
Around the A.
Yeah, I did. I spelled it T-U... Now, I can't even remember how to spell it. I spelled it R-A-U-N-T. I put the U in the wrong place. And then this deeply stupid girl came up, dumb, cootie girl came up and spelled it correctly. And then everybody, the worst part is, from that day on, everybody at my school said, we'll call her, Lori. They said, there's Lori. She's the best speller in the school. She was no such thing. It was me. Me, I was the best speller.
What kind of school are you going to where a restaurant makes you the best speller in the school?
It was the school in Kennewick. What do you want from my life?
Must have been a vocational tech.
For the rest of the 3 years we went there. Well, yes, I'm glad you've come here, Superintendent. Would you like to meet Lori? She's the best speller in the school. And there I am, like, seething in the back row, planning to go home and get my dad's hunting rifle. It's good. I'm over it now, though.
Mine was easier than that. I got through, like, a bunch of hard words, and then this one got me.
What did you misspell?
It's embarrassing.
I just misspelled restaurant.
Restaurant isn't... That's harder when you're younger. I misspelled trophy.
Did you spell it I-E?
No, I put it E-Y.
Well, that's an
odd mistake. Like if something is sort of flaky?
Yeah.
It's like flaky, but it's sort of trophy.
T-R-O-P-H-E-Y.
When it has a lot of troph to it?
Yeah.
It tastes strongly of troph.
It's true.
Well, that is embarrassing. Did somebody else get it right after you?
Of course.
Jim. Do you remember who it was?
Yeah, it was Jim.
Screw Jim! Jim, you're dead to me.
Jim was a friend of mine.
Oh, Jim, you're going to pay someday! 45 minutes, baby.
I still get confused over that word because I have such a block in my head for my...
Let's move on, shall we? Rick, about the vibe on Hawthorne. So we're talking about Horns Across the Hawthorne, which is coming up 6 days from now.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be gathering at the bottom of the north side, the grassy knoll there, and the north side pedestrian ramp. I sent out the MySpace invite about it. You can find out more at 970.am.
Do we know what that street is? Is that Market Street?
It is, but I mean, it's like... But that's useless. Don't use that, because I think it dead ends there, and there's a little windy place. You just walk in. You'll see the big tent. But here, the great thing about it is going to be, and a lot of people are kind of unclear about the whole concept, this Horns Across the Hawthorne thing, it really is going to be the greatest photo op in the history of the world, because you see those famous photographs, like VJ Days, the one I keep talking about, and the sailor kissing the nurse. Are these people calling about spelling bees? Love of God. Look, we've done it now. But you hear about these fantastic photographs. Again, like I said, the Times Square photographs. And, you know, the legendary photo, like that, the Afghani girl on the cover of National Geographic. Photographs that changed the world. Lance Armstrong allegedly putting, or Neil Armstrong allegedly putting down the flag on the moon. All of those. This is going to be the next legendary photograph. I'm telling you right now, this photograph, it'll be passed down like an emblem, like an ornament, like a replica, like a thing, like a touchstone from generation to generation. The question is, will you be part of it? So we will be having people span the Hawthorne Bridge on 666, which is next Tuesday, comes once in a century, and then at 606, everybody raises the devil horns, bam, best photograph ever, and then we go to Dante's, libations, food, we spin the pentagram of prizes. It's going to be a good time. Are these all spelling bee calls?
Mine one is.
All right. I got to read a couple of these. Rick, about that creepy vibe on Hawthorne. You do realize, I'm sorry, I gotta play this here. This is, of course, from Aaron.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Sound by getting longer. You do realize that Hawthorne was the name of Oregon's first mental health director. The first state insane asylum was at the top of Hawthorne Boulevard. Now the place is a seminary school. Also, Hawthorne Boulevard used to be named Asylum Avenue. And then listen to this. If you search hard enough, you can still find old streetcar tokens that read Asylum Avenue, one way only. I want one of those. I want one of those so badly. And then he signs it, sweet. All right, that's Aaron. Hazelden is the treatment center that birthed the Minnesota model, which matches 12-step... All right, I'm beyond caring. What else do we have here? Rick, I was looking at the FAQ for Horns Across the Hawthorn, and I thought, is it possible to take the picture at 6 p.m., 6 minutes after the hour, 6 seconds after the... All right, you're really overthinking that. Look, I appreciate the effort. It's all good for a fine tune, but... let's see. Thank you for your time. Yes, no, sir. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. We'll go to the calls here in a minute. Let's go back to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Let's talk about the Dixie Chick, shall we?
What about the Dixie Chicks, Tim? I hear that they've completely fallen off the cultural radar because country radio won't play their song. I hear that they're vanishing and the people no longer wish to hear their music.
And because it's not played on the radio, people have nowhere else to find it.
Apparently, the radio is now the only outlet for music. And if you don't play it on the radio, by God, a song just can't become a hit single through any other venue. And there is no way by which the people can demonstrate that they have other outlets for their musical enjoyment.
Wrong, wrong, wrong. This is the year 2006. The Dixie Chicks' new album, Taking the Long Way, debuts at number one on the Billboard Top 200. But nobody's playing the song anywhere.
I'm horrified. You know what it is? That's the power of the Rick Emerson Show right there. Mm-hmm. We played it on Friday. It's called Not Ready to Make Nice, which is a fantastic song. We played it on Friday. I might play part of it later again. I got a bunch of emails from guys, because, you know, these are guys who are working during the day, and guys are at, you know, whatever. They're working in the stock room or they're working wherever. Guys who work in record stores all over Portland were emailing me on Friday, telling me that Portlanders were just literally, I mean, not droves, but I mean, the Portland audience was going in and buying it, but they're buying it by the fistful. So there you go.
So, number one. What else can we say?
I mean, that's it right there. We'll show you. We won't play your song, and then no one will... crap. So, and it's, by the way, it should be noted that the justification for not playing... Tim, do you remember what the justification was? Was it censorship?
No.
No, because that would be...
Un-American.
That would be wrong and un-American. So the justification, apparently, for not playing the new Dixie Chicks single was not that they... Not that they disagree with or find fault with the political sentiments, because, of course, that would not be the American way to keep something off the air because it conflicts with your sentiments. It was that, quote, the song just wasn't very good and no one wanted to hear it, which is why the album has debuted at number one. Behold the mighty power of radio. Here's, let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Sean on the Coop.
Hey, Sean, how can I help you?
Well, first of all, I like to say I don't listen to the Dixie Chicks, but I love to see this happen because it just shows that, you know, you try to keep the man down and it's not going to happen. Anyway.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
They're trying to keep the man down or the woman is.
It is true. It's not really had the most stunning of successes, of results, yeah.
I know we moved on, but we were talking about the spelling bee, and I was telling Sarah that... I have the same situation you have. It's seared in my brain for life eternal, but I had a situation where I was the last two people up there. I was one of the last two.
Listen, only on this program, by the way, would this ever trigger just from, you know, due to just people out there, just stories of pain and suffering at the hands of spelling bees. Really, this is the only radio station where that would ever happen, and we are God blessed for it. All right, so what word did you misspell? Do you remember?
Well, the thing of it was okay, let me...
Here comes the rationalization.
You're supposed to ask for the definition if you're not sure.
Right,
well,
yes.
Well, they gave me such an easy word, and it was like the last word. I was just sure I was going to win. Uh-huh. I didn't ask for the definition, and it was cereal. Well, there's three different spellings of cereal.
But don't they have to clarify if it is a...
Cereal you eat?
No,
cereal like a soap opera?
If it is a homonym, don't they have to clarify which... I really, honestly, even I now can't believe we're talking about this.
The more you know.
In a spelling bee, I say, driving listeners away as though I had a gigantic cattle prod... In a spelling bee, if it is a homonym, don't they have to give you the definition?
One would think.
Oh, those sons of bitches. They'll pay.
So
they will pay if I have to hunt them down myself.
Then they said, oh, Sorry, we were looking for this.
Oh, that's not right. That's that is a, you know what it is? That is a betrayal and a violation of all that this holy country stands for. That is it is un-American, my friend. All right. Hey, you should go buy that Dixie Chicks record. It's good.
Yes, I'll run right out and do that.
I don't believe you. All right, thank you, sir. No, he's right. Yes, behold the power of the man to keep the Dixie Chicks down. Oh, no. The interesting thing, by the way, because the justification for not playing the Dixie Chicks song was that, quote, no one was interested in it, that it wasn't a very good song, they couldn't find anything, because it's not just this song. They're not
we'll
playing.
Let you know what's good for you.
We'll tell you what's good music and what's not. The selector knows much better than your own ears. Little radio lingo there. The justification was it wasn't just this single. It was that there was nothing on the record they found that was good. So now
that it's of no interest to you.
So now that it's move along, nothing to hear here. So now that the record has debuted at number one, the interesting thing will be to see whether that opinion gets revised, since clearly the prima facie evidence is in that the people do want to hear it. So I'll be curious to see whether that opinion undergoes any sort of rescaffolding. In the meantime, we will continue to be the only people playing it because that's what we do. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, as of June 7th, it'll be a felony in the state of Washington to play poker on the Internet. The bill is SSB number 6613. It has stirred up much anxiety in poker forums. Many feel correctly that they have been blindsided. A search of databases couldn't find anything new written down about it. So, making internet gambling a felony allows religious conservatives, opponents of Indian gaming, and anti-gaming activists to make a strong statement. Some may even have thought the law might be enforced.
Now,
how
I
do
just,
you enforce it?
I'm unclear about all of this. So, they are gonna start banning it in Washington.
It makes it a felony to play poker online. This new law.
But that's only in Washington.
Right.
Well, they can't do. Okay.
So you can come down here and play poker.
Sir, I don't understand how you're supposed to win. Now we're going from spelling bee discussions
to the Dixie Chicks to gambling. These are all people who tell you what's good for you and what's bad for you.
What's good for you is to spell cereal, S-E-R-I-A-L, not C-E-R-E-A-L. And here's the reason I ask is because it's not just, note by the way, how this show simultaneously we are both an intellectual show and a base show, a primal show, because we're talking about spelling bees, and now we've moved on to not video poker, but online poker, because I play that, my wife plays it, probably half the guys right now, and a good chunk of the women too, but within the sound of my voice, probably half the men who are listening to this program right now play or have played online poker. Because it's huge. And they advertise it during the World Poker Tour and all. I mean, I know guys, like, I will go to poker games sometimes. And don't get me wrong, I am not a pathological poker player by any means. I'm not a compulsive gambler. I'm not anything like that. But,
it's better than your spelling bee activity.
It is. If only I were better at it. But, I think whatever, a couple times a month you get together with the boys and you do whatever. But, I know guys got multiple accounts. Like, they'll play it, whatever. They'll play it Party Poker. They'll play it Poker Planet, whatever. I don't understand how you can possibly stop this when, A, everybody does it. B, it's on the Internet. C, it's a thing without geographic borders. Because, to the best of my knowledge, all of these online poker companies are all based on Indian reservations in Canada anyway. It's like, what are they going to do? The state can't just start monitoring all of your Internet traffic because they think that you're trying to get a royal flush at Party Poker. That's not going to work. So, yeah. You know what it is? The MOA poker... Blah, 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 blah. The MOA poker rooms will slip through your fingers. That's for Aaron. All right. Hey, by the way, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, Aaron Geek in the City will be calling in. And will the Alpha Geek from CBS Radio Portland, they'll be talking about the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons game. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. How many stories have we gotten to, Tim? Would you say less than five?
I would say so, yes.
Okay.
Not that it matters. Who knew that the story arcs would all come together like that?
See how I weave it all together like that? I pull it all together, just like the last 30 seconds of a Seinfeld, just merging it all.
Well, Elizabeth Taylor has dismissed the report she is gravely ill or is being treated for dementia, as stated in the National Enquirer. She was on Larry King last night and said, "Oh, come on, does it look like I'm dying?" And Larry looks more like he's dying than Elizabeth Taylor, but he keeps on going.
Larry, in fact, looks dead. I believe that Larry King may have been getting injections of Keith Richards all these years to keep him alive. Because he... I've lost track of how many times... There ought to be a drinking
game. I'm sorry,
game.
It's like all police and... This is the insurance company.
I'm not talking about today. I'm just saying, in general, there ought to be a drinking game for how many times the Kelly Clarkson ringtone on Sarah's phone interrupts this radio program. Let's listen in.
It's a total loss.
Sarah's car. All right.
Well, the outcome of this is someone's going to go to J-A-L-E.
Way to tie it all. That's a callback right there. Way to tie it all together. Best show ever. Best show ever of the best show ever. All right. So here's where we are. We got a break or we're going to get really behind. We've got people on hold. If you're on hold, I probably hang tight. I can't believe I'm saying this. We'll get to your spelling bee calls in a moment. I'm already waiting for the person to call in and suggest that we have an on-air spelling bee.
Here on Art Linkletter's house party, which will immediately be followed by Arthur Godfrey and Friends and it's strumming ukulele here on Coin Radio.
Seriously.
I don't think you could possibly be louder.
I'm sorry?
You have the loudest voice ever.
It's what I do.
It's the radio, the way radio used to be.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. When the cat's away, the mice play, and when Sarah's distracted, Tim and I just morph this show. Sarah's not here with her hand on the Rick Rudder, so to speak, this whole show just...
On the Rick what?
Rudder. We just, isn't that what it is? The thing that steers the thing? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I don't even know what I'm talking about now, but you like it. It's not that you're doing a bad job. You had a little plate full. You get a couple phone calls from the man trying to get a handle on this person who hit your car.
Yeah, looks like my car's destroyed.
Well, we knew that, though. Yeah. I saw it. I haven't posted those pictures.
It looked like last night on Coin, too.
I know.
But, well, that's what we have to talk about. We have to talk about Coin. They did a piece on Sarah last night.
And Squid put it on YouTube, so you can watch it.
We got to talk about that. We got to talk about the fact that they have arrested the person, we think, that did this. Probably a bad apple from a bad tree. From a bad orchard. What else?
He's about to be made into applesauce.
We got these spelling bee calls. And yes, I said that. All these spelling bee calls. We got this. It just says redneck coworkers hate Dixie chicks. So we'll get that. What else? The geeks are going to talk D&D. We got the top 10 songs that were big hits despite radio's attempt to quash them and stifle them. What else? And just more. Too many things. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break here. What else? We got the Jim Roop coming up as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. We will be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid States Radio.